Guys, before I bring you the message, hallelujah. Anyone have a need in your life, healing that you need in your body, physically, emotionally, whatever? Just put your hand up on your chest. We're going to do it this way. Guess what? Nobody has to lay hands on you. God can heal. Not can, he does. But I just want to pray that strongly to glorify you. We're here because you're alive. And Lord, we're here to meet you. You're the one that we want to worship. And Lord, everyone here that stood today has their hand upon their chest. They're saying, I have a need in my body. Or maybe it's they're interceding, whichever it is. Those watching on social media. Lord, by faith, we come to you right now, for you are Jehovah Rapha. You're our healer. You sent your word and you healed us. So I speak in the name. We speak in the name of Jesus. Every affliction, bow right now at the name of Jesus and be gone. Cancers, bow right now. Heart problems, bow right now. Nerve problems, bow. Back problems, bow. Knee problems, bow in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, by faith, we receive that divine healing that was already given to us up on the cross. You said we were and we are healed. So we need not come to you begging. We can come to you thanking you and believing you. Because if we believe it and with all of our heart that you are the healer, we're healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you're all here. Praise the Lord. In spite of the snow, we still got some people in here, huh?
Amen.
Glory to God. And I just got to say, Paul and Rose, we are pleased to have you here today. You know, they're these snowbird type people. Well, no, they're not. I think they're living there now, right? But you know something? We have a couple, two, three other families that are in Florida right now, too, and we miss them when they're not here. But I'm just guessing that maybe Rose and Paul probably come here because they were so hot, they wanted to get cooled off. And we got it here. And there's no mosquitoes, no rattlesnakes, pythons, alligators, just beautiful snow. Hallelujah. But no, we're glad you're here today. It's a blessing to have you again. And it's great to have the family of God wherever we go in the country, in the world. Amen. I know if I fly over to Ukraine or Russia, I know people over there. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ and are just like they're here today. And some of them may be, I don't know. But thank you for coming today. And I'm believing God's got a good word for us today. And Amy, my daughter, kind of, I thought she was going to give it away today. And I thought, did she sneak and look at my notes? But she used to be a little sneak like that at home looking for her Christmas presents. But anyway, praise the Lord. Father, again, we're so thankful that you're here, that you're a living God. It must break your heart, Lord, when you see multitudes of people from false religions, Hinduism, Islam, people bowing by the thousands on their knees to a dead God. When you're the living God, you have the answer. But Lord, we're here today because we love you. And I'm praying, Father, that your word, your holy word, will go out and touch the hearts of the people that are listening and are here today, and that it will challenge us, Father, to live a life for you, to glorify you in this hour that we live. So, Lord, again, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And again, everybody said in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My message for the day is in the days of his power. In the days of his power, and I put dash begins in repentance. Not a popular word in some places today, but I feel strongly at the end of the year we're coming to, God's grace and mercy brought us all the way here, and we need to speak on the wrong way. Our nation is going the wrong way. We're under attack. And it's God's people that he's calling upon. And as I said before, I think even last week I said it, and I'm going to say it again as we enter into the new year of 2026. I'm believing and I'm expecting a supernatural manifestation of God's power. Right here at Crossfire, as well as in your personal homes, this year coming up, I believe is going to be a supernatural year for God's people, those that are repentive and those that are worshiping and praising him. Will you believe with me? God is going to manifest himself even in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Believe with me. It takes all of us together to believe also. And that's why we're here together in fellowship as the body of Christ. I want to believe it for our families, for our fellowship here at our services. I want to believe for a supernatural healing physically, emotionally, spiritually. And it's going to be done through his power. I want to believe for souls to get saved in my life, that people I know I've been praying for, people you know that need salvation, those watching have loved ones. Maybe you're not even saved watching, but we're believing that God will touch your heart and knowledge of salvation. In many others, supernatural ways, in supernatural ways, we serve a supernatural God. He's supernatural. And guess what? He's still a creator. He loves creating. But I believe it all begins with repentance. It all begins with repentance. You may say, well, that is easy. Yet if it was easy, our God would not have to put it into words in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, 7:14. With a great big if, he starts out. So listen to what God said, and you know it. Some if, say with me, if.
If.
Let's do it one more time. If.
If.
My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He's talking to his people. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to his people. Because a nation is dependent upon the body of Christ and how we live our lives for Christ too. And today we see, even in the city of Minneapolis, St. Paul, we see multitudes, Islam, Muslim, public. I bet when I was in sales, I used to travel up in the Eagan area too, and I'd get there at a certain type of day and there'd be Muslims out in the grass before I go in to see the customer out there praying, and I'd have to walk through them. Where do we see the dedication in the church today? Where do we see that? We're in dangerous times, and it is going to get darker and darker, but it's going to get brighter and brighter for them who are in Christ. And the people that are living their lives in a remnant churches are going to experience it, and many are going to miss what God is doing in the end times. So always come to church with expectation. And again, used to be one, but I love small churches too. Because God's army is everywhere. He's even in the Chinese homes in China where they meet in houses, where they're hiding, unable to worship the God. And yet we still have in this nation freedom, which is under attack right now. I just saw yesterday where two preachers preaching the gospel in Texas, Austin, Texas, were arrested for praying on a sidewalk over some worldly situation. And they arrested them. And that's what the devil's trying to do, to come and bring fear within the body of Christ and to stop us from doing, because that a Christian that's on fire for God is the most dangerous weapon there is for him. And that's why we need to get our lives right, all of us. As God weighs our moral and social and spiritual conduct, let us take the warning of divine judgment seriously and pray that God would bring healing to America. You say, well, we're a strong nation. We don't have to worry about all that. Wrong. It's even on the news today. China, Russia, all Iran are looking to destroy the West. We're also being destroyed incrementally inside our nation. And the church needs to get on fire for God as we enter into 2026. We don't know what's going to happen, but I tell you what, I want a true revival. I want a true move of God in my nation. This is a beautiful nation God has raised up to get the gospel around the world. And I want to keep doing it, don't you? Isn't it great that you can get up on Sunday morning and if you want to go to church, you can go to church? It might not be that way all the time unless the church repents. There are many things that are revealed to us when we have true repentance. There's a lot of people that think they repent because they wept. No, true repentance is when you turn not doing it. You make a choice, your thoughts toward God and how you live your life. That's true repentance. It isn't just say, I cried this morning in church, so God forgave me, and it's now you go back into the old world. That's not true repentance. But we need true repentance. In repentance, it says in Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, he says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. In their affliction, we need to be seeking after God. And if you're looking at attention, I hope you do today, whether you're a young person or an older person, you need to shut your cell phone off if you're using it for not the right reasons. I believe people need to hear the word of God. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain unto the earth. God's aware of everything that's happening in this world right now. He's aware of everything that's happening in our lives personally. In Hosea chapter 6, there's a presumption of repentance and genuine repentance. But not genuine repentance is what I meant to say. The people did not understand the depth of their sins. You will read in chapter 7, and read that. You really need to get into the Word of God and see what God, because it's the same God that's here today that was during Hosea. It's the same God. And there was false repentance, but God's seeking after hearts that are literally repentant of what they're doing. We should hate sin more than anything if you're a born-again Christian, amen? They did not turn from their idols. They did not repent of their sins or pledge to make changes, even after God's warning. And we have that in the church today. We have young and old the same way, still living in their worldly ways within the church and think they're going to get away with it. But God's serious. Our nation is under attack, and as God's people, we need to stand up for our faith. But if we're not living the way we are, we're not going to stand up. They thought that God's wrath would last only a few days. Yet little did they know that their nation would soon be taken into exile. And that's going to happen to America. We're on the verge right now watching it slide to that way. We're watching it happen. And it's the saddest thing in the world to think that we would allow this nation to do it because we're so entertained today. That's why churches like this aren't full today. Because people want to go to churches where it's exciting and fun and all the things are happening. But they don't. And we're entering a serious time. We need to get serious with God as we go into 2026. See, to me, God's exciting. To live for the Lord is the most exciting thing you can do. And you know when it gets more exciting? When the church comes together in unity, and when you see people being raised from the dead, when you see people supernaturally healed, when you see marriages brought back together, relationships, when you see people delivered from demonic forces, you can't get any more excited than that. I don't care if Santa Claus is swinging in a church from a cable playing a guitar. Fuck that junk. I want to see people get born again and saved from an eternal hell. Amen. That excites me. And it should excite you. It should excite us. Israel was interested in God only for the material benefits he provided. They did not value the eternal benefits that come from worshiping him. That's today. But before judging Israel, consider your heart. And I'm talking in general with those watching us today, not just Crossfire. We need to consider our own hearts. Faith. You say you have faith. What do you hope to gain from that? Matthew 15:8 says, "This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far, far from me." Jesus quoted that from Isaiah 29:13. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows that the ones that come into a church building that are truly repentive, he knows the ones who really love him. He knows them. And he says it right here. That's why it's there. He knows those that are just playing games with him. But he also for him. Jesus also said, if you love me, obey me. And if you're not obeying God in your life, publicly or privately, you better ask yourself, do I really love the Lord? You better ask yourself that. Are you obeying him? If you're not, you better get on your knees and be seeking the Lord on this, because there's going to be a day, should Jesus tarry, when each one of us in this place that are watching in here are going to die. You better know you're saved. And if you're playing games, I would suggest you get right with God as quick as you can. Amen. Notice on TCM the other day, they were showing all the movie stars who died this year. Lots of them. Young and old. Died. 2025 was their year that they went into eternity. How many of us in here in 2026 will make it all the way through? We don't know, do we? I want to encourage you to make sure your hearts are right with Jesus. See, in repentance, he brings to remembrance also. The responsibility, it's your responsibility of knowing God. Ezekiel chapter 1 says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak to one another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts goeth after covetousness." Boy, God knows mankind very well, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And it's up to you and I. It's our responsibility to get right with God personally. Don't depend on mommy and daddy, grandpa and grandma, and the preacher. We're all responsible for our own soul. The outcome of hearing and not taking personal responsibility of the word of God is just like the one who received the seed that fell by the rocky places. Again in Matthew 13:19, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives the seed by the wayside." And that's why I'm concerned in services, not just this one. Today, when I see people, young people, even elderly people on their service, when they should be listening to the word of God that's going to help them to make it through this journey. And they walk out, they understand nothing because they weren't focused. You don't have to like the preacher. The preacher doesn't have to be charismatic, but he needs to preach the word of God.
Amen.
Because we are responsible to God. Anyone standing behind a pulpit is responsible to tell the truth. It may not be a perfect way, but as long as it's the Word of God, it's a good way. And I depend upon the Holy Spirit as I prepare messages. Whether you like me, I'm not here to get popularity or to be cool. That's not my goal. That's no good anyway. Be responsible for what you know about God's Word. It isn't up to someone else to help you on the road to heaven. Although we encourage one another, don't we? But when it comes down to it, you personally have to come to know the Word of God. Because you can't sit on your deathbed and say to somebody, now pray to the Lord that I make it into heaven. You have to know the Word of God. And the Word of God is really our weapon that we use against. Because even young people don't understand. They may not experience a lot of the depth of the hurt, the rejection, and loneliness, and all the things that happen in an adult life. But it will come should Jesus tarry. And you got to know how to address it and live in it and deal with it when it comes. It's a work in progress. Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Too many churches fill behind the pulpit. And in many churches, that guy behind the pulpit is more concerned about himself and what he can get out of it, and giving a 20-minute sermonette, and the people are gone. And nothing's changed in their life other than they were entertained. Is it okay that I'm honest with you again?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because it's the truth. And I'm not backing away with it. Paul here in Galatians reminds us that it's quite possible to profess Christ and salvation yet be unsaved. Do you profess Christ or do you possess Christ? Because if you're professing, I can tell a professor from a possessor many times by their speech. That's not judging. I'm a fruit inspector. God tells us we can tell by their fruit. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. That's pretty serious talk, isn't it? Except you better prove to yourself that you are in the faith. Even if you're a young person and you're old enough, and once you're 12 years old, they figure is roughly the age of accountability, you're responsible for your own soul. And it's time to get serious. Young people got to get serious. Older people got to get serious. Older people got to get serious. I'm in that category, so I can say it. Amen? Thanks, brother. I know you're not laughing at me, but with me. Sure proof is the realization that Christ is indwelling us by the Holy Spirit should result in godly lives. Amen?
Yes.
If you truly have Christ in you, our lives should reflect that privately and publicly. It should just be there. Because your love for the Lord, you want to please Him in everything you do, every way you live, and how you do things, how you treat people, how you live out your life. You don't be a Secret Service agent. There's none in the Bible. If you're not living a godly life privately, don't be a hypocrite and try to make people think you're doing it publicly. Be honest with God because He knows the truth. And I tell you what, as true repentance comes into the church, things are going to move. You will see things, God will show up, and He will even convict you and I of things in our life that we're not even aware of. That His Holy Spirit will open a door to our hearts and souls, even within a service. And we think, God, I didn't know. But that's what true repentance will begin to do along the supernatural move of God. It does not behoove anyone who is doubting and disobeying God's word to of the professed conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Test yourself. See if you're lining up to the standards that Jesus Christ set forth in his word. That's how you test it with this, not with another person. I don't want to be like sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. I want to be like Jesus. This is you, because you and I are always going to disappoint one another. Somewhere along the line, we're going to disappoint. I know Christians that have backslidden away from Christ because they focus on man. And I thank God he taught me, even in my young, youthful age as a Christian, not to focus on man. The scripture that is, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Because I've been disappointed in the church. I've been hurt in a church, and I could easily walk away and go, or I can grow up and realize Jesus didn't tell me to look at you. He said, look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith, because you're all going to, you can all hurt me. You can all reject me. I can do the same to you, but Jesus, he's the one I look at. So there will be no excuses at judgment day. Because he told me, you look unto me, author. As Amy said this morning, talking about joy. Joy was put in you by Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says it's a gift from God. And it's in you. It stays in you. And it's activated as you and I put it into faith. In repentance, we gain a better understanding of Jesus Christ also, standing strong in the word of God. John chapter 8, 31, 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, say if with me,
if
ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And there's too many in churches and cannot get free because they're not living according to the word of God. And they say they know, but do they really? Now, I understand their struggles. I'm not belittling any of that because we all fall into things and we need help and everything. But after a while, you've got to take a stand and say, I stop it right here, according to the word of God. And you say, but I just can't do it. That's a lie from the demons of hell. Smokers say they can't stop. They can. Drunkards say they can't stop. They can. How do I know that? The Bible tells me right here. Become the sons of God. Greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. And that thing that's trying to buy me, I rebuke it right now. I walk away from it by the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say anything about depending upon man. God says he's the author. He's the one. We're putting too much trust in deliverance ministries today. And I don't read anything about a deliverance ministry in here. I read about a man, his name is Jesus Christ, a God, a creator, who said, I'm your deliverer. Every demon will bow to his name. Really, the answer to everyone's life. You can agree with that or not, that's fine. Continue in my word is true dedication to following Jesus. True disciples are measured by ongoing obedience and the belief of the word of God. You know, I had a friend one time that had a guy that had a drinking problem, and my heart goes out to those guys. I worked in Teen Challenge. I've been around a lot of these guys, and my heart goes out. I don't judge them, condemn them. But a lot of things are done by personal willpower. And pretty soon, the friend of mine, the brother in Christ, he got saved same time I did, and we're really good friends and everything, and he tracked different people. And he kept patting people on the head that had drinking problems, patting them on, you're okay. I told him, you got to quit doing that. They're not okay. Drunkards shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. How can you pat a drunkard on the head and say you're okay? You got to tell them the truth. They may not like it. I had a guy get up and get mad at me and walk away because I said it. Thank you. You're the only one that told me the truth. I'm not out to make people like me. I want people to get saved and born again. Yes. And if they like me, that's great. Praise the Lord. I love friends. Amen?
Amen.
But if I don't, I'm going to be like Jesus. Jesus told everybody the truth, and guess what? He walked alone. The whole world rejected him on the cross. He knows what it's like. That's why he said, pick up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Don't be so concerned about making friends. Be more concerned about their soul. That we're concerned about your family, your children, your grandpas, your grandma, your uncles and your aunts that aren't saved. That's what we need to do. I'm ending 2025 on a heavy note because I believe it needs to be done. And as I preach to you, I preach to myself too. But he leads by his Spirit. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 15. He doesn't drive you, he leads you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And come, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show unto you all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. You see the importance of getting into the Word of God, dependent upon the Holy Spirit? Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the same God, are talking back and forth. And when the Lord is talking to the Holy Ghost that's in us, the Holy Ghost is showing us the truth of his word. But you don't know that if you're not into the word. And if you're not obeying the word, you're missing the whole point of your Christianity. One of the points. He reveals us to what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He reveals it to us. That's why it's so mocked today in our world today. Even Christ on the cross, the woman who played Jesus on the cross this year in Wicked. The mockery of him. How sad. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I need the word, but I just can't remember it. That's okay. Because when you really need it, the Holy Spirit will help you remember it.
Amen.
When I've shared the gospel, something I didn't know what I was going to say in certain conditions. But I said, Holy Spirit, help me. And all of a sudden, the scripture comes to my mind, and I read it, but I forgot all about it. It's real. We're missing so much what God has got for us as a people. And we'll experience the days of his power, which is the title of my message. And I'm not talking about magic. God is not magic. It happens in the church and miracles, people saved and born again and healed and raised from the dead and delivered from death. That's not magic. That is power. It's called dunamis power, according to Scripture. That's recreative power. It's power that comes into the life of a believer and manifests as you and I act upon the Word of God. That dunamis power begins to flow through us, and it's not magic. I get so tired of preachers, and I'm just being honest today too, that act like it's a magic potion when they're going into a ministry or taking off their jackets and throwing it at somebody. And doing like this, and like this here. Like it's a big magic show. That's not right. You can't use the Holy Ghost for something he doesn't do? What purpose is it? God's interested about lost souls. We got to get serious. 2026, we may see a time of the golden age, our president calls it. But even during that golden age, we've already beginning to see the rising up of in the middle of it. You may like Donald Trump or you may hate him. But I tell you what, he's somebody that God is using in this world today to help you and I. You notice that he's helping Christians? Do you know what just happened in Nigeria? God is using the man, whether you like him or you don't. He's being a servant of God right now. And he's working to defend you and I as Christian people in this nation. And we're still playing games. We're still going after entertainment. And we got a president that's taking a knock for you and I. When we should be the ones standing up and saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. There's no other way to heaven but through him. Hmm? Did you know there are moments in Scripture when God steps down into human affairs with tangible, irresistible, mountain-shaking power? All of a sudden, God shows up. He shows up. In such moments, ordinary men become portals of glory, literally. Impossible situations bow. Chains that have been lasted for years break suddenly, and miracles become normal. That should be a normal action of the Christian today. Miracles. I believe we're entering the days of his power. And don't depend on miracles, by the way. Miracles that Jesus performed and they still turned and rejected him. I don't depend on them, but I tell you what, I believe they can happen because I believe God is a miracle working God. I believe he wants to do miracles in our lives, but when he does, let's not focus on the miracle, focus on the miracle giver. The day of his power. And I believe people, we're entering that time. I really do in my spirit. The day of his power indicates the moment of the Messiah's visible rule and victorious display of authority. We're going to see events, I believe, in the year coming up that you never thought. And I'm not looking for them. I'm looking for the one who's doing them. Amen. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, say it with me,
all power
is given unto me in heaven and earth. Who's got the power?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ has got it. It's given to him. It's all his. That's why we need not fear this world. Because all power is in him.
Amen.
Dunamis power, recreating power that can bring miracles and bring deliverance and break chains. And it lives in the Christian. It lives in you and I. Where is our heart with the Word of God? How are we living our life? Why aren't we experiencing the power? Why? See, I believe it's going to be a season of divine visitation. Psalms 110:3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning thou hast dew of thy youth. In the day of his power. Willingness talking about here of the people. This suggests that during a time of divine strength and empowerment, believers are encouraged lives. This empowerment enables them to overcome challenges and fulfill their purpose in life. We should be seeking him right now. Should have always been anyway. But more and more as I see we going further. Yes. Spiritual awakening. The days of his power are often associated with spiritual revivals, where communities experience a renewed commitment to faith and service. And that comes through repentance. True repentance. It emphasizes the transformative nature of divine power. There are moments when God says, I will not watch from a distance. I will intervene. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm praying for. Looking for the one who does that, will step down from glory into my life and where I need him. And there will be a suddenly that you never dreamt would ever come. He interrupts natural order. He suspends protocol is what he does. He moves mountains to establish his purpose in not only the world, but in your and my life. And then there will be an atmosphere of miracles and wonders. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with
power.
Good. I knew we had enough people to get that word out. Power! He anointed Jesus with power. Who went about doing what?
Good.
And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Yes. Anybody ever in here been called a do-gooder?
Yeah.
I always say thank you.
Yeah.
Because see, Jesus was a do-gooder. He went about doing good. So I'm a do-gooder. I'm doing good because Jesus did good. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a do-gooder. To me, it's a compliment. Okay, when people acknowledge that, if I'm sincere with them and literally caring about them and everything, and they still call me names and everything, to me, that's a compliment. Because I know that the Holy Spirit is moving through me. And the power of God is revealing to their heart that they need a Savior. Where His power is present, guess what? Sickness has no authority.
That's right.
It has no authority. Demons lose.
Yes. Amen.
They lose their grip on us that are bound and struggling in our life when Jesus is present.
Amen.
And impossibilities receive answers. Isn't that awesome truth?
Yes.
So it makes me say, Lord, where is my life with you that I'm not experiencing these things? I'm blaming me, not the Lord. It's me. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. It's in power. The power of the Holy Spirit living within us. But this suggests that true faith is demonstrated through the power of the Holy Spirit rather than just through speech. Some people want to receive. Important. We got to speak. We got to preach the word. We got to go out and proclaim. But really, the power is in you if you're born again.
Yes.
It's the Holy Spirit. And there are seasons God proves that He's not, it's not just a theory. He will prove it to you. He's a living God who moves, He heals, He delivers, He restores, He revives, He resurrects it, and He does it through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Do you care? Do you care? It's a season of willingness and surrender. Psalms will shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the days of His power, God melts hardened hearts. It'll be spontaneous. People you thought will never, ever come to Christ, God will show up in their life and He will melt their hearts in a second. I watched Him do it. I watched Him. I told you the story, short mention of it. When I was in the drunkard come up to me, his shirt torn off and it's 30 degrees out and he's going to kill me. He's going to kill the missionary that was with me. And we watch God melt his heart within a second, and he sobered up heaven, and he said, God is. He felt the power of the Holy Spirit enter him, and he repented right there on the spot. It's real. When you and I get serious with the Lord, God's excited. I'm not talking about being a religious idiot, being a mundane Debbie Downer person. You're going to hell if you don't get saved. Well, you will, but I'm not going to preach that way. But somebody who walks up and witnesses and shares the gospel with a positive attitude, with an upbeat heart, with a joy in their spirit, with a challenge to them to compel them to come to the one, you win people then. The Holy Spirit's the one that saves. God saves. Amen. We're only the tool in which He speaks through. People rush to the altar in repentance when the power of God shows up. No preacher will even have to beg them. They'll just get out of their chair and they'll sense the heaviness of the Holy Spirit and they'll know they're not right with God and they're on a wrong road and they'll just come up and they'll want to get saved right there. That's true repentance.
Yes.
Some people come up just because they want a fire escape. Well, if I do what that preacher just said and I repent, that means I won't go to hell when I die. I had a guy tell me, he was cutting my hair and tell me, I asked him if he was a Christian. He said, yeah. He said, I prayed that sinner's prayer. I said, you did, huh? As he was telling me how he was going from bar to bar to bar to bar on his Harley Davidson. So I witnessed to him. He didn't like it. But you know something? You got to tell the truth.
Yes.
I didn't judge him. But I was a fruit inspector. I said, are you really saved? Shouldn't your life... I used to do those things when I was unsaved. In the days of power, what doctors say in the final outcome of your life is the beginning of God's wonder. Manifestation. How do we prepare for the day of His power? You know how? Matthew 5, 6. That's how you prepare. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's why people aren't reading their Bibles. They aren't hungry. They're not thirsty. They come to a church to be either to be entertained or just say, I've been in church. They never pick up their Bible the rest of the week. That's what religion is. But I tell you what, somebody that gets hungry for God, the Holy Spirit's on them, they say, man, wow, God. I didn't know that I was that person. I didn't know I was doing that or not doing that. I didn't know I was saying that. And the Holy Spirit will move upon them and they'll get a hunger and a thirst to want to dig deeper. You ever get into the Bible and you get a word and you start out with a word and before you know it, you went through your whole Bible researching it? Because you got a hunger and thirst for the things of God and He will show up. You just can't be mundane and complacent. You got a hunger and thirst for it. He said, again, I'm going to read it. Blessed are they. That means happy. Happy. You want to be happy? Happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And God's not a liar. It's true. God never pours power into an apathetic, complacent, casual, indifferent heart. He never does. And that's why we see the church in the way it's today. Too much complacency, care, indifferent, casual. That's why we have people coming in the churches dressing improperly, showing too much skin, more concerned what man sees them than what God sees them. We got to teach people, not demand, not become legalistic, but to teach them the Word of God because God's holy. Power flows where hunger and thirst are. It does. If you want God's power, increase your hunger and thirst. You say, I just don't have it. Then ask God for it. And discipline yourself and get into the Word. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not to get to heaven, but to work it out by doing what God says. Work it out. Study the Word as the Bereans did. That you will not be ashamed. People know. Even the world knows a true Christian. The world knows if you're playing games with God. They just think you're just as ridiculous as they are. I think it's great when you can witness. I've had people say to me, you really mean what you're saying, don't you? And I said, you bet I do. You bet I do. I mean it. If you're bored with God, start witnessing. You won't be bored very long. I'm getting close to 9 inches. Purity and holiness. Psalms 24, 3 and 5. Do you hear this? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in that holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Wow! Those. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. We need repentance. There must be clean. Unconfessed sin blocks the flow. Holiness attracts glory. Did you know that? It attracts the power of God in our life. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's a warning. If you're living in ungodly sin, habitual sin, and you're not working to get out of it, you're in danger, even as a Christian. I didn't write that, the Lord did. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We need to repent. We're always going to have struggles with sin. We all do. When we do, we go and ask Him to forgive us and turn away from it. Jesus always, when He witnessed, He always said to them, what? And go and sin no more. He didn't say, well, you're okay. Work hard and one of these days you'll get out of it. No, because the power's in me. I can repent. When I'm truly repentant, I can walk away from anything. I've walked through things. Don't need to get them in with you, and it's none of your business anyway. Right? Unity and agreement. How many like to be in unity? I'm not talking about a hospital. Chapter 2, 1 and 2. And when the day of Pentecost is fully come, they were all in
one accord. One accord.
One mind, unanimous. They all thought the same way. In one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Can you imagine churches around this country if God's people all came to their churches and got in there and we were all in unity, believing the Word of God? Not believing the preacher, but believing the Word of God that He's preaching. And even that the preacher got right with God and quit sinning. Pentecost. Division restricts the power of God. Unity multiplies it. That's why I encourage people. Pray one for another, as the Bible tells us to do. Don't gossip. Don't say things that aren't true when you don't even know it. Don't bring disunity into the body. Don't bring a Jezebel spirit within a church to bring division, to try to destroy the kingdom of God. If you truly love God, you'll come into a church, say, God, how can I be part of that fellowship and encourage my brothers and sisters to serve You? Even if we don't like somebody, and we don't have to like each other's, but we have to. Acts chapter 4, 31. And when they had
prayed.
What was that word?
Prayed.
It sounds a little better.
Pray.
There, see, now that's how it should be in prayer time on Zoom, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. There should be enough people that we can be in unity. You notice a lot of praying that Jesus put in His Word. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Diane, I believe when you and your the others that meet with you on Wednesday nights here in person too, as well as on our Zoom, 10,000 for that to happen. I believe it can be you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father, or it can be you and another brother and sister, and you can shake this church. Not you, but the power. But just think if a whole church did it. If we truly come together as the body of Christ. Did you notice that when they had prayed, always comes through prayer. The Lord answered them and gave them boldness to speak the word of God. We need more of that in the modern church today. We need boldness to speak the word of God. Every revival documented. Listen now. Because we're getting false testimonies over our social media, placing too much stuff on movie stars that say they're now Christians. It's taken away the true born-again experience from the Bible, and we're focusing more on the movie star that said, I love Jesus. But there's no change in their life. Every revival documented on earth began on an altar of prayer. It starts with prayer. Don't go to a church and say, oh, I hope we have a revival today in the church. Did you pray about it? I read the word to you when they prayed. Repentance changes lives. When there's true revival, people are repenting. If there's a truly are repenting all around. Don't get duped by what we're hearing on the media today. It's good stuff. 3,000 down at the lake got baptized at this one church. Hallelujah. But did they walk away born again? Did they walk away repentive in their heart? Did that 3,000 in that community change that community where now there's a revival sweeping through it, where bars are closing and people are getting saved, even walking by homes like they did in the New Testament? That was the book of Acts. That's what we should be doing. There should be a true revival of repentance. Don't get so excited when you see a group of people pray. But revival isn't just joy jumping either. True revival, every true revival, as I read to you, start with prayer and repentance is the result. You hear a crying out from the heart of men and women who are saying, God, forgive me. Not saying, hey, I got baptized with 3,000 people last week. Hallelujah. And they go to work and they still act the way, talk the way, do everything the same. Nothing changes. You still love me.
Yes.
I love you. Because people, we're entering a time. Are you ready? I know there's many brothers, pastors, and pulpits that are preaching very similar stuff in this final time. I'm hearing them. Prayer does not persuade God, by the way. Prayer positions us to receive what God has already prepared. And in faith and expectation, Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Jesus promised that. It must be true, huh? He never lies. He always keeps his promises. He said, if thou canst believe, believeth. Where there's expectation, there will be manifestation. Did you come into church this morning with expectation, saying, boy, God's going to be moving today? Or did you just say, oh, we're just going to hear another sermon from that preacher dude? Or did you come to meet the Lord? Did you just come, I want to hear the worship team because they make me feel so good? Or did you come to say, God, what are you going to do through worship today? Are you going to send a move? God, is the worshiping of your people from their hearts going to manifest in their lives? Is cancer going to be driven out of bodies? Is blind eyes going to be intense? Expect this morning. Believe this morning. Reach out this morning. Your faith is a conductor for divine power. Did you know that? I'm almost done. I know that sounds like a false promise. But chains break suddenly. Isaiah 10:27, this is really speaking about the Antichrist, but it's the word of God and we live by it. And it shall come to pass in that day, that is the day of the Lord, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And that goes for you and I too, when God shows up, not just the Antichrist. He's destroyed by the anointing. But the things in your and my life can be too when we have the anointing of God upon our lives. There are yokes that sermons cannot break. Did you know that? They can't break them. Counseling cannot break it. People are going to counseling, all over the place looking for counseling, and sometimes it's the very dangerous thing to do. And intellect cannot break it. The power of God breaks them instantly by Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. You need to call up on Jesus Christ. If you want some power in your life, call up on Him. Get a hunger and thirst. Ask Him to come down and break that affliction in your life and look to Him. If you're emotionally, mentally disturbed, don't look to the world for your answer. Look to the Word of God, for He said, when I come to Him, that I'll have the mind of Christ. If you're troubled in your mind, say, God, I got your mind. Let it manifest in me. Think on things of good report, Lord. Let this mind think on things of good report. Quit seeking after the flesh, after man. Look to the answers are all there. There's a time when I thought I was off my pinion as a young Christian. And I was tempted to go to a counselor. I never went to anybody. Even as young, I told my wife, I'm going to trust Jesus. I don't know what's going on. I walked through a lot of years. Fear. Couldn't figure it out. Trouble. I couldn't. Why it hit me, I don't know. But I stood in there and I kept pleading the blood of Christ. I kept praising the Lord. Asking for His Holy Spirit to give me strength for that day, that moment, that minute. And He walked me out of it. The time, not Him. And maybe He wanted to do something in me to teach me something in order for my faith to grow, in order to do work for Him in the future, which I believe that was the deal. And I still do. Acts chapter 19, 11, 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs, or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Yes. It wasn't the handkerchiefs. No. It wasn't the aprons that people had something to focus on that their faith would receive. Diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. When God's power is in operation, you will hear testimonies that sound unbelievable. Amen. I've heard some. I go, whoa. Unusual, extraordinary miracles, acts, God's spectacular testimonies. That's what we should be experiencing. And we will. But we look to Him, not to the miracle. When it happens, we can say, God's here. He showed up. He changed that life. He touched that life. Thank God for the miracle. But Lord, I give it. And lastly, Amos 9:13, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes that is sowing seed in the mountain shall drop sweet wine. Stop there. Sweet wine, by the way, I looked it up. Sweet grape juice. No excuse to go getting your bottle of wine out. God doesn't give people liquor. And all the hills shall melt. That means disappear. The plowman will be so busy planting that he will catch up with the reaper. Indicating a time of great harvest which we can enter into even this year. And prosperity. And what's they're talking about now? Prosperity. It's coming to America. Don't focus on it, but it can happen. And it's going to happen like what should take 10 years happens in 10 months. What should take 10 months happens in 10 days. And when power comes, delay loses its grip on anything. Restoration and recovery. In Joel, speaking of Israel being rude because of their sin and refusal to repent. But God, we see God's grace and mercy when repentance comes. Listen, Joel 2:25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and my great army which I sent among you. Every wasted year that you and I have had, stolen opportunities from us because of our disobedience to God. God says, I'll restore it. When we come to Him and repent, He restores those years that we've lost and we've wasted. How many lay on their deathbed and say, Lord, I wasted so many years. How many Christians said, I wasted all my time. Revival fires are going to descend. Acts chapter 2, 37, 41. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them,
repent.
That's pretty weak.
Repent.
Yeah, see, that's you let the devil know you mean business. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The power comes with him. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from the unforward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's what fills a church, with true repentance. Multitudes turn to God by faith through repentance. Hearts are set ablaze by repentance. Lukewarmness dies because of repentance. Prayer becomes a lifestyle of a repentant heart. Holiness becomes a joy of a repentant heart. Souls are harvested because of repentant hearts. The church becomes unstoppable. And with that, I'll stop and say in conclusion, hallelujah.
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 I like it. That's the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you hear that, Amy? You got yourself a whole new choir here. Added to, I should say. Wouldn't it be something if all of you got up here and we got up here and we all started to sing in choir? We got room for all the other people who want to come in. I hope, people, seriously, I hope you see the importance of repentance in your life. You may think, well, I think I'm okay on everything. Just make sure. Ask the Holy Spirit every day. Am I doing? Did I talk to the clerk at Walmart right when she said, no, I'm not going to take your return back? Did you say it right to the waiter when he sat your spaghetti and meatballs down on the table and you said, they're not hot enough, buddy? Every little thing in our life, we depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us. See, the importance of repentance in your life, anything that would hinder you from living in the coming days of power, of God's power. I want to see God's power. And beloved, when God arises in power, nothing remains the same. If you say the same old thing, the same old, you want to see a change? We'll see the days of God's power showing up this coming year. Mountains will crumble. Chains will snap. Destinies will open. This can be your day of power this year. Everything resisting your life must bow to the power of the Almighty. I want the day of God's power in my life every day. Raise your expectations. Raise them up. Say, God, help me to really trust you for the unspeakable things that I thought never could. Let me see me being bold in my faith at work,
yes,
in my neighborhood. Help me to stand that I thought I would never be able to stand. Lift your faith. Open your spirit. Let the Holy Spirit move. Come expecting to encounter God's wonder. Let's all stand, please. Again, let me ask you, will you believe with me that our God is going to manifest himself in our lives? Will you agree with me on that, people? In our families? In our church services? Here at Christ? In healings? Do you agree with me for expectation? That's going to happen. Look at me and say, that's going to happen. In Jesus' name, we are going to see the day of God's power. And Lord, we're going to see many supernatural things this coming year. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe it. I believe it. In the day of His power, we will experience it. But it must all begin with repentance. And I just want to say this quickly, because I know some of you may be nervous with that 9 inches of snow coming. But if there's any, you couple minutes and come forward and let's pray together and ask God that He show us anything in our hearts and lives that need to be repented of. Don't walk away if you know.
Lord.
Some people, they'll just walk away. Life will go on the same. They don't care. They don't care. I'm tired of hearing that preacher. I'm tired of hearing him shouting. Well, it isn't me. It's the Holy Spirit that is speaking to the church in this hour that we're living, but around this nation, because God sees what's going to happen to America unless His church gets right with Him. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I ask You, we ask You as the body of Christ right now, together as the body, we are the body, Father. We love one another as our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray through Your Holy Spirit, You manifest within each one of us. Speak into our hearts of anything that can separate or block us from receiving the day of Your power in our lives. Let criticism, grumbling, griping, murmuring be gone from us. Bring joy. Bring contentment. Bring comfort. Bring expectation of what's going to happen in our lives in the days ahead. Lord, we look to 2026 for a year of a mighty move of God in our personal life. Lord, we look that Your Holy Spirit will help us to turn from any wicked way that we have within our life, that we can be the light of the world as Jesus is. Many lives around us. Lord, let supernatural events happen in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, wherever we may go. Let there be a supernatural move of God. And so, Lord, we want to thank You right now. Lord, thank You for saving us. You chose us. And Lord, if there be any watching before I close this, and you've never given your life to Jesus, Jesus said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and burden, you're troubled. I'll nowise cast you out. You said, we shall all perish if we repent not. Lord, God is calling you to repent of sin in your life and turn from it and surrender your whole life to Him and to receive Him into your life through the power of His Holy Spirit to be Lordship of your life and to be your Savior. He's calling you right now. And if you're hearing it and you're doing it, that's the Holy Spirit. And we, the body of Christ, are part of that prayer right now, Lord, that You will speak into those hearts and they will come to a total commitment to You to make You Lord and Savior. Lord, You said if we believe in our hearts that He came to earth, He died, He rose again, He's coming back again, and we receive Him, we're saved, we're born again, not because of the words, but because of the commitment within us. And Lord, I'm praying all of us here together will be challenged from this point on, even through 2026, that we will strive to be like Jesus. strive to be hungry and thirsty for you. Put a hunger, put a weeping in our souls, God, for more of you, more of your thirst and hunger. You're the bread of life. You are our water, our living water. Make us so thirsty for it, Father, that contentment will come only when we're seeking you. And we thank you, we praise you for never giving up on us. We love you, Lord. Thank you for 2025. And we look tomorrow, should Jesus tarry, for 2026, Lord, to be used for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Have some good fellowship on your way out. If you want prayer, I'll stay up front and pray with you. But look at somebody and say, I'm going to walk in the power of God.